If you want to give Tom Brady only 20% of the blame for these woes, you must only give him 20% of the credit for those yo's. Take it away,
Counselor. That was deep. I'm not going to give 20% of the blame to Tom Brady. I'm going to give 15% because I'm going to give 75% to the guy who deserves it, the guy who buys the groceries and cooks the meals, Bill Belichick. What did you tell me before? He knows every move this team makes.
He does.
Every little move.
Every.
He is responsible for that roster from top to bottom.
Bottom
includes Gunnar Olszewski.
Yeah.
Who was actually had a big role in this offense until he got hurt and is on IR. I never thought I would see the day where Tom Brady would miss Gunnar Olszewski.
People forget. All right, hour number two. Mark After Dark, Mark James, that's Mark with A.C. James. The number to get in, 617-779-7937. The voice you just heard there is one of Skip Bayless from Undisputed on FS1. And he said that Bill Belichick deserves 75% of the blame. How about that? 75%. I've said this before over and over and over again. Belichick can occasionally get some diamonds in the rough. Trey Flowers in the fourth or fifth round, Jake Bailey in the fifth round, James White in the fourth round. He can find some. He has trouble. He can't pick a legit wide receiver in the first or second round of his life, depending on it. He can't do it. He just can't do it. I don't know what it is when it comes to evaluating talent. He cannot do it. But Skip Bayless, 75% of the blame on Bill Belichick this year. Wow.
75% to the guy who deserves it.
So your thoughts on that. How about Spygate 2.0? How much blame does Belichick get on that one?
75% to the guy who deserves it.
I'm going to go 0% on that one, Skip. I'm going to go 0, not 75. No, I'm going to go 0 on that one. And I'm not going to go 75 on the season. Well, I guess in a way, I will say this. I'm going to go about 60. I'm going to go about 60% because he is the end-all, be-all when it comes to football. No. I'm going to take that back. Back that up. No, I'm thinking of somebody. Hold on. Wait, real quick there. I'm going to say the reason, and I'm going to blame Brady for 15%, Belichick because he's the boss for 30%, and I'm going to give Robert Kraft the lion's share majority of the blame, 55%, on why this season has gone to hell and why the Patriots won't win their 7th Super Bowl, why they won't get to the Super Bowl, and why they may not even get to the AFC Championship game. I'm going to go 55% on Robert Kraft just because of the Antonio Brown move. That was stupid. That was dumb. And it killed this team. And it pissed Brady off. And you can see his play on the field. You can see his disgust and frustration off of it. Post-game press conferences, even after a winning on the road, at that time was the best win of the year at Philadelphia. He had a minute and 40-second press conference. He stormed off. I'm blaming my finger point on all of this goes to Robert Kraft. 55%. He's the one to blame. I give Belichick 30, Brady 15. But Kraft gets the majority of the blame.
You gotta call me RKK.
Okay.
55%. From an organization that has been at the epicenter of controversies, Spygate, where they got caught against the Jets, Deflategate, Aaron Hernandez, multiple Murdergate. How about Orchids of Asia Day Spa Gate? And then you took away the best receiver this franchise has ever had, well, at least since Randy Moss back in 07. For what? Because of a text message? Please, give me a break. 617-779-7937. Back to the phones. Here we go. Bill in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Bill. What's up, dude? Bill. Bill going once, going twice. Goodbye. Robert in Hingham's up next. What's up, Robert?
Hey, Mark, what to see. How you doing tonight?
Good, Robert. How are you?
Good. What a beautiful segue into my thoughts. I think it's time for changing the guard at the leadership for the New England Patriots. I think Johnson should take over. What do you think about it?
I think a lot of people have said for the day-to-day operations, what I've heard over the course of the last five-plus years, Jonathan, for day-to-day, but of course, ultimately, it's you know, the buck stops with RKK. He's on the lower right-hand corner on that front of that check.
Oh, yeah, the old man will still be able to go to the game, sit in the owner's box and all that. But I think the CEO and the decision-maker, like, for example, who spearheaded this whole marketing thing with the scouting thing? Who's the one that said, let's do a report on scout? Who did that? Who started that?
I don't know. That's a great point. Maybe the producer. And why did they want to do it? Here's my biggest question, Robert. Why did they want to do this a week before they're playing one of the teams who they're unintentionally filming? Why did they want? Why wasn't it done? You know, I don't know. The week prior to that, when the Patriots were playing at Houston and they could have sent the scout to a different game. Why did it have to be the week prior to them playing the Bengals?
I'm thinking Robert Kraft has his stamp on this. And I tell you, he probably just wanted the publicity, you know, for his team and so forth. I think if Jonathan was in charge, he might be more astute to the fact that you can't do a lot of video recording in stadiums. I mean, that's something they should know.
You should know that, especially for a franchise that has been charged with got caught red-handed during the first half of the Jets game in 2007. And then, you know, the fake news story that came out, right after that about the Patriots allegedly were spying on the Rams walkthrough the night before the Super Bowl, which was completely false. So now it opens up a whole nother Pandora's box, Robert.
And one last question for you, Mark. I know you spent a lot of time in Florida. Are you a Seminole or a Gator fan?
Neither. I'm a Hurricane.
Oh, okay. That's a good answer.
What about you? What about you?
I'm a Seminole because my son went there. But as far as Western Mass, you from Pittsfield area?
Springfield area.
Oh, Springfield. Okay. No problem.
Yeah, no. But I'm a Hurricane man. No garnet and gold or orange and blue. Only orange and green runs through these veins.
Oh, okay, I got you. Have a good night, Mark.
All right, you too. 617-779-7937. Yeah, I'm putting this season on why the Patriots won't win their seventh Super Bowl, why they won't even get to the Super Bowl on Robert Kraft. Yeah, because, and a little bit on Belichick too, with allowing Gronk to play him, because they should have been more active in pursuing Jared Cook. Instead, they let Gronk drag his feet, and they should have just gone right after Jared Cook. Seriously, and said, well, hey, we just got Jared Cook. But they allowed themselves, and now they don't have a tight end. So there's that. God, could you imagine Jared Cook with this team? Imagine Jared Cook and Antonio Brown with this team. And Antonio Brown, think about this, folks, that you're not going to win your seventh Super Bowl. You're not going to get to the Super Bowl because your owner thought Antonio Brown sending a text message was bad enough to warrant in his unofficial wink wink indefinite suspension from the NFL. Yep, that's what it was, which blows my mind. Norm in a cape. Norm, what's up?
Hey, Mark, what's going on, man?
Good, how are you?
That was some quality Florida talk there, that terrible swamp land that you guys come from. Just a terrible place.
Oh, wait, what's terrible?
Florida.
For what? Not college sports.
Yeah. Great college sports, horrible everything else.
Okay, fair enough. I can't really. I mean, their pro sports team sucks, but their beaches are great. The weather is great. The women are hot, hotter than the weather. So I'll take Florida. I ain't hating on Florida.
All right. Well, I mean, you live there, so.
Yeah. No, not anymore. But yes, I know what you're saying. So what do you got?
Blame pie. I totally agree with you. Robert Kraft, get rid of Antonio Brown. I think Belichick is trying to look at the last three first round picks. Offense. He's trying to build this offense. He's trying to help out Tom Brady. And he had it. He had Antonio Brown. He had Josh Gordon. He had Julian Edelman. And he had Dorsett as the fourth option, which is a perfect role for him. He had it all set up. And then Kraft overreacted because of his personal situation, and he got rid of Antonio Brown. Total blame pie, I give 78% to Robert Kraft.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Norm, you can't put enough blame on him for this season. I don't. And what did he do? What they say from history, you learn to not repeat the mistakes of the past. Look what he's doing. He's repeating the mistakes of the past, which is getting involved in football operational decisions.
Yeah, he should never be involved. Leave it to Belichick.
Right.
Obviously the greatest coach of all time.
Right. Here's the thing. To defend Bill, Bill wanted Antonio Brown here, even after the text message. I think Bill was probably fed up, but Bill was probably like, hey, Bill wanted Antonio Brown to be catching passes from Tom Brady, even after the text message. Bill just had to do, like anybody else, what his boss told him to do. And that's the only guy in the organization that ranks above him in terms of power that, you know, that he had to do what the guy who signs the front of the checks in the lower right-hand corner wanted him to do. That's it.
And he wasn't happy about it, and he's not happy about this situation, too, which is caused by Kraft Productions doing things they shouldn't have been doing without Belichick even knowing about it.
And he's not happy about that either. And that's another thing, Norm. It's a good point, is that this is another blemish on Robert Kraft, because this is his company. The Patriots and the coaching staff, Belichick, had nothing to do with this. Nothing. 617-779-7937. You got to remember, that's, from my standpoint, they did not have anything to do with this whatsoever. This was on Kraft Sports Productions, and I'm not blaming Robert Kraft, but I am blaming somebody there did not know what he was doing. All right, in case you missed it, a guy who is certainly has enough Patriot hatred to go around the world and back, Tony Dungy. Here's his comments on the Spygate 2.0.
What exactly could I get out of this?
Yeah, this is much to do about nothing. I'm not sure why the Patriots would do that, why they would take 8 minutes of someone else's sideline. But you're not going to get anything that you can really use. Everyone is talking now. Everyone is, you put the cards up over their face so you can't even lip read. I'm not sure what they would get that would benefit them. So to me, it's breaking the rules. I don't know why they would do that. It could be very innocent. It could be just the Patriots trying to make you think that they're doing something, that you have to change your sideline procedures a little bit. I don't know why they would do it versus the Cincinnati Bengals, a one-win team. None of it makes sense, but I really just don't think there's much advantage to be gained at all.
Hmm. So it's Tony Dungy, an unlikely ally in this situation. Dungy sort of just – Belichick is, for this whole cluster bleep, no blame whatsoever. He doesn't deserve anything. This was not on him. And some heads will roll there, but I'm just surprised the producer or even the advanced scout didn't say you can't tape the sideline, to let the, quote, independent contractor videographers, let them know of the protocol prior to them going down there and doing this. That's what I'm shocked about. Gino is up next. What's up, Gino?
Hey, Mark, you stole my thunder. I was going to ask about the Tony Dungy comments and what, you know, he and Bill don't have any love lost between each other, but that's, you've already covered that. But going back to the AB conversation and his demeanor, texting, whatever the hell, how come nobody else has jumped on the bandwagon to sign him?
Yeah, I know. They were saying that Seattle and Philly were really looking hard at him and they didn't sign him. Maybe something is out there where he's just sort of, you know, like the teams know something that the public doesn't know, that if you sign him, he'll be put on the exempt list, and they didn't want to pay someone So, but here's the thing about the Patriots. You already owed them $9 million guaranteed or $10 million guaranteed on the signing bonus anyway. The only thing you're going to be owing them is a game check. So, like, who cares? Who cares about you already? The lion's share of that $50 million he's going to get. So why not have him out on the field earning it, catching passes from TB12?
I agree wholeheartedly. But what do you make of Dungy's comments?
I thought they were surprising. I thought they were surprisingly objective, which with Tony Dungy is a tough thing to do because he's not someone who has a lot of love for the Patriots. No love lost for the Patriots. I mean, I saw something a couple years ago. Tony Dungy said Tom Brady was the sixth greatest quarterback of all time. Sixth. So it's like, give me a break. But no, this was like, I was surprised. It's weird when you hear some guys, you know, Tony Dungy, Stephen A. Smith, Ryan Clark. They're not going to gain any advantage. You can send the cheerleaders down this week to play the Bengals and they'll win. They don't need any help to beat that team. That team is a freaking joke. They're the worst team in the NFL and one of the worst teams in sports this side of the New York Knicks. They're a complete, total dumpster fire. Train wreck. But at the same time, the whole thing just, it's just a bad look.
But I'm disappointed in Robert Kraft.
Ooh, good one, Nick. Good one. Yeah. Yeah. I think Robert Kraft gets... He needs to take a huge blame for what happened with these independent contractor videographers. And not only that, the Antonio Brown situation. I'm with Dungy on that one. I never thought I'd say it on this station in Boston throughout New England. I'm with Tony Dungy on that. Robert Kraft is it's starting to show that maybe Jonathan should sort of take over. Not just the day-to-day, but maybe – sort of, the guy now that because the thing about Jonathan, unlike Robert Kraft, Jonathan's he's not a real public individual. He's very kind of, you know, more soft, quiet. You know, he's not a guy who loves the attention, loves the cameras. You know, that's not really Jonathan. Jonathan's more of an introvert. Robert's an extrovert. All right. We'll continue to get your phone calls on that. Who deserves the most blame for this season? Kraft, Belichick, Brady, Phony Michelle, N'Keal Harry. You know what I love now with people on Harry? They're just calling him Henry now. I hear so many people call him Henry. N'Keal Henry. Hey, you know what? I will say this. He has not certainly earned his first round pick status, that's for sure. But he did make a tremendous play on Sunday, which should have been a touchdown. So I've got to give him that much. Oh, speaking of N'Keal Harry Henry. Oh. I'm going to get to your calls next. But I want to illustrate something for you people that, oh my God, I can't believe it just hit me. While I'm on the air. Oh my God, I can't believe it just hit me. Oh, we will come back with that next. Oh, wow. Hang in there. Your calls are next, but wait till you hear the difference on what we're about to play for you coming up next after trending.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
Yeah, walk us through, I guess, that touchdown that wasn't called a touchdown. What did you think happened on that play?
I thought it was a touchdown. I'm pretty sure everybody else saw that it was a touchdown. It's something that's out of our control, out of my control.
Did you talk to anyone? Did anyone talk to you about the play?
We all knew it was a touchdown. Everybody clearly thought it was a touchdown, but like I said, it's out of our control.
Okay, so that was N'Keal Harry after the play that should have been a touchdown on Sunday against the Chiefs, right? So let's go back 1 week prior to that.
I'm not exactly sure. I haven't looked at it.
No. Hold on. I want to set this up properly. The week prior to that, he got blown up on a play that caused Tom Brady to throw his only interception of the game against a guy who was 5 inches shorter than him and 30 pounds lighter than him in Bradley Roby. He got blown up. And so you heard him go on and on and on about that should have been a touchdown. That should have been a touchdown. After the Kansas City game, here's what he was after the Houston game on the very play that was the reason why Tom Brady threw the interception.
I'm not exactly sure. I haven't looked at it on film. I got to look at it on film first.
Did it feel as if he went through you? Did it feel as if you could have been a little stronger on that ball?
Not sure. I haven't watched it on film yet. I got to watch it first.
What did it feel like?
I mean, no, I guess I could have just used my body more. But like I said, I haven't watched it on film yet. I got to see it first.
So he hadn't watched it on film. He said 3 times in 18 seconds. But boy, did he did not hesitate to go. He didn't need to watch that, the gated touchdown on film, huh?
I thought it was a touchdown. I'm pretty sure everybody else saw that it was a touchdown.
Yeah.
Something that's out of our control, out of my control.
Well, that part is right. It is out of control. But boy, he didn't need to watch the film on that touchdown, huh? No. It's amazing. When there's a bad play that caused Brady to throw a pick that you're the reason why Brady throws an interception, I got to watch the film. But when it's a touchdown that was erroneously negated, oh, okay. Yeah, everybody knows it was a touchdown. Yeah. Just be careful, rookie. Be careful. Because there's hosts out there like me who are mentally and physically keeping track of you, okay? And you're not making enough plays to be able to say, I got to watch that on film. I haven't watched the film. Dude, you were on the play. You don't need to watch bleep. You were on the goddamn play. Okay, so, and you apparently didn't need to watch film after the touchdown that they called back, or not that they called back, that they completely negated saying you were out of bounds. You didn't need to watch film on that one. So just be careful there, rookie. Be really careful what you say, because it's amazing how when things go bad, I got to watch film. When things go good, oh, that was a touchdown. Yeah, be really careful there. I noticed that. I wanted to get to that last night, so I'm glad I thought of N'Keal Harry, as a lot of people are calling him Henry now. 617-779-7937. He's made some good plays, but like, I don't know what it is. He gets like 5 to 8 snaps and he's out of the game. That's it. Just like the week against Houston. After that play, he was on the field for 10 of the next 61 snaps. He was out of the game.
He got 2 last week.
2! That's what I'm saying. Like he's got some, there is some ability. I'm admitting that. But let him try, like, especially when you're getting the red zone and you're 27th in the league in red zone percentage, you may want to use a guy who's 6'5", 240. All right, back to the phone. 617-779-7937. I gotta go watch film. Chris in Worcester, what's up?
Hey, thanks a lot. Blame game. I was just talking to your screen caller. I believe it's Trent Brown that we let go. I think that was one of the biggest mistakes. That would have just solidified the offense. We could have worked our way out. The Jared Cook thing, right, and Rob Gronkowski, dragging it. They just said goodbye.
Right.
We're going after Cook.
Right.
That's two. And three is
By the way, Chris, if Gronk did decide to come back after you acquired Cook, then you got 2 great tight ends.
What?
Right. You got, right. Yeah.
But would you have franchised it? I mean, they could have worked it out. They could have franchised him, then signed him. Now, he didn't have a great start to the season, but now he's pancaking people.
Oh, yeah. Before he got hurt on Sunday against San Francisco, he had 2 touchdown catches in the first quarter, Jared Cook.
Yeah. Oh, no, I apologize. I was talking about the offensive
tackle. Okay. Trent Brown.
Would you have franchised him? Just wondering. Do you like offensive tackles? I mean, I know – boring talk, but I'm telling you,
listen, for dude, I don't remember Brady getting even anybody breathing on him last year, yet alone touching him. He was like Trent Brown. He blocked the sun last year.
It's not talk because offensive tackle is just, but that's a cornerstone Isaiah Wynn, come on. That's a mess. It's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And so is Sony Michel. A mess.
Phony Michel.
I'm sorry.
Phony Michel.
So that's the worst, you know, that's going to go down as a bad draft year.
Oh, by the way, that whole draft is gone. Like, basically, that entire draft from 2018, I think the only player who's still here from that draft is Jawan Bentley, and he sucks. He isn't doing anything. Nothing. That whole 2018 draft, I don't mean gone. I mean, none of them are producing, or they're not on the team. Isaiah Wynn last week sucked. Phony Michelle's been a sophomore slump. Like, come on. That whole draft. Braxton Berrios, gone. Gone. Oh, Izzo's still here. Oh, big freaking deal. Like, he's doing a lot. I mean, that whole draft is just garbage. Garbage draft. Garbage draft. Sony Michel, one-year wonder, man. One-hit wonder. Plain and simple. Belichick does not do good on drafting in the first or second round. I don't know. Recently, he doesn't. Jawan Bentley, I mean, he's a fifth rounder, so I can't really call him a bust, but he hasn't done anything. Christian Sam, never made the team. Braxton Berrios was on IR, then was gone. Danny Etling never played it down. Keon Crossing was actually good. I don't know why they let him go. That was the one. See, Belichick's better in the lower rounds. He's able to find better players in the lower rounds than he is the upper rounds. Back to the phones, Mike in Plymouth. What's up, Mike?
How you doing?
Hey.
I have 2 points. The first one, since you're talking about the draft. Damian Harris, that we took round 3, hasn't sniffed the field.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
And after that, you have, so that means we didn't draft Dawson Knox. How's Alexander Mattison doing for Minnesota? He looks pretty well. He looks like pretty much like a number one if Dalvin Cook goes down.
Yep.
Hunter Renfro, Darius Slayton, the list goes on. But the second point I want to say, so Antonio Brown can send a text and lose his job, but if you have a bunch of cocaine on the middle of your table, that's okay. Patrick Chung, you can still be on the field. What about Harmon smuggling, trying to smuggle weed, going on vacation?
Yeah, the weed thing I can. But the Patrick Chung thing, that surprised me. That just sort of they let that thing just sort of, they swept that thing underneath the rug, and it was like he blamed it on his carpenter. Nothing to see here. And it was like, okay, all right, you know, yeah, like
and,
yeah.
And Robert Kraft acts like he's an angel. You're down in Miami getting a. Getting a nice little massage, but it's okay with you. But then you send a text message and you're off the team.
That to me right there, Mike, that is the epitome of hypocrisy, what you just said right there. That he was down in Florida, we know what happened, and then you cut Antonio Brown because of a freaking text message? Really?
That's what I want to say. There's a lot between Harmon, between Chung, and between Kraft. They all still have jobs, but over send a text message, you don't have one. But thanks for taking my call. Have a good night.
The blame is clearly that the public has cast their vote. The blame is on Robert Kraft, RKK, Robert Kenneth Kraft, that he is to blame for this season. And yes, you could say Belichick did not do a good job evaluating the wide receiver position. He's never done a good job. He's neglected for so long. But he did bring in Antonio Brown, and then Robert Kraft took him away because of the heat was getting too strong about from the public pressure to disassociate yourself with Antonio Brown, which I... Wow. Since when is this team going to kowtow to the pressure from the media and the public? When? Why are you going to do it now? You've been dealing with this crap for nearly 15 years. Spygate 1, Spygate 2, Deflategate, Aaron Hernandez Gate, Orchids of Asia Day Spygate. There's been so many different things that, you know, why now are you all of a sudden going to let the public pressure in the overwhelming criticism on social media determine a football decision on the field? That to me just blows my mind. And when you all look back at this season, because it will be ending sometime in January, not in February, down at Super Bowl 54 in Miami. When you look back at this season, remember one thing. It could have been, would have been, and should have been epic. It should have been great. it should have been resulting in a duck boat parade 2 days after Super Bowl 54 Miami. But instead, it'll end either in Baltimore, in the AFC Championship game, at home, maybe to the Chiefs in a divisional playoff game, or who knows? If the Patriots don't get this thing turned around, it might end wild card weekend. But one thing I will promise, there's no way this team wins number 7 this year. And the blame, and then where will you put all the blame then? And if Brady, or should I say, when Brady does decide to take his talent elsewhere, guess what's going to happen? Guess what? You're going to see an entire fan base, and a lot of them are going to be completely disgruntled because they just lost the biggest hero. And I get it. By allowing him to not be franchised, it puts the onus on Tom. But now, Tom Brady Sr. said, it's Bill's decision. It's Bill's decision. So all I know is this. If Brady leaves, I'm blaming the man at the top, the lower right-hand corner who signs the front of the checks. I'm blaming that guy. I'll blame Bill a little bit, but I'm blaming that guy more than anybody. Because you took away his greatest weapon since 2007, Randy Moss. And for what? For what? For a freaking text message? I mean, at least the guy should have committed some sort of crime. Maybe they could have reenacted the town. You know, or done something there, right? In real life, maybe he should have robbed. Like, my God. It just doesn't make sense. But the epitome of hypocrisy will be the reason this team does not win their 7th Super Bowl. 617-779-7937. I'll get back with more of your phone calls. You want to chime in on the Celtics and Bruins losses tonight? Feel free to do that as well. Mark, after dark, don't forget the Midnight Express coming up in just over 15 minutes right here on WEI.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
They're doing it so much they sometimes get caught. They keep getting caught, and they keep giving the same excuse. They have no respect for your intelligence, by the way. I just want everyone to know. They have no respect for your intelligence. For Belichick to say this, and for them to use the same playbook, the Patriots bring out the same excuse that was reported. Here's their excuse, and they're just running the same play. And then Belichick says, no, we don't run that play anymore. Dude, you just ran the play. We just saw it. You just said it. It's absurd.
That was obviously the voice of Max Kellerman from ESPN's First Take. Charles Robinson, good writer from Yahoo Sports, columnist, has a latest article that just came out an hour and 20 minutes ago. It says Roger Goodell can be the winner in NFL's Patriots investigation. And he basically says that, you know, I'm quoting here, more or less that in this investigation with his team, some actual deliberation might be exactly what Goodell needs. There is some upside here for the commissioner. In the most skeptical eyes of the league's fan bases, not to mention some other NFL teams, he may be able to engineer a win for himself here, a victory that lies in an approach Goodell and the league has rarely embraced inside its own judicial process. So you got to worry about that now. How about that one? Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. There's also in that same article, it says Deflategate, Ezekiel Elliott, Antonio Brown cases show flaws in normal process. Troy Vincent. I want to get the Antonio Brown part here. Let's see. Ezekiel Elliott. Okay, here we go. Even the current Antonio Brown investigation, which few care about because Brown has been so universally adept at framing himself as a villain, remains open-ended and almost opaque. Why? There's seemingly no discernible reason beyond Goodell repeatedly saying it's incomplete and there is no timetable for a conclusion. In fact, the leak has said almost nothing about the case, other than it being an open probe and Brown potentially being subject to suspension if a team signs him. I understand Brown isn't a sympathetic figure, but that doesn't change the fact that he appears to be caught inside the league's Kafka-esque judicial process without any due process in sight. How about that? So Charles Robinson sort of saying that Antonio Brown's getting screwed here, which is, yeah, he got screwed ever since Robert Kraft decided to cut him for some unknown reason. 617-779-7937. It'll always go back to being hypocritical. Alex, New Hampshire is up next. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Mark. I just wanted to, like, you're kind of downplaying that text message a little bit, I think, you know, because you threatened that lady, I think, in that text message and kind of made her look really bad.
Yeah, no, I don't want to downplay it. I don't want to downplay it, but I'm saying that it was very, yeah, he shamed her. He said that her family dressed poorly in shoddy clothes. And he said, let's get some dirt on her. But I don't think he didn't outright, as how I remember it, he didn't outright come out and threaten her, though. The way that Tyreek Hill did to his ex on audio recording.
Right. I mean, that's totally different. You're right. But didn't he sign a contract when he signed with the Patriots that said he wouldn't do, you know, he would stop with the shenanigans or whatever? I'm sure that was part of his contract, and I'm sure that's why. I'm not trying to make an excuse for Robert Kraft for what he did, but, you know, he didn't just let him go because, is what I'm saying. That's all.
No, but you know what it was, though? Once he signed here, Alex, every day there was some new story. It was this, it was that. It was like every day, Sports Illustrated, and then this one, and then that one. It was like, so, and then I think he didn't, listen, Antonio Brown, I believe, is, and I say this with the utmost sensitivity, Antonio Brown has got major psychological issues. I think we can all agree upon that, right?
There's definitely something going on there, yeah.
Yeah, and I think he suffers from, I don't know if he's been diagnosed or if it's undiagnosed. There's so many telltale signs there of bipolar disorder, and this could have been from CTE effects after that hit by Vontaze Burfict, because they said he changed after that hit. He was never, after that hit, he became a different person. So,
if that's the case, I kind of feel bad for the guy, but
yeah.
Your time.
Yeah, yeah, okay, Alex, no problem. 617-779-7937. Yeah, I'm not making Antonio Brown out to be the victim here, but he hasn't been charged with a crime this year. There's only one guy in the Patriots organization, like, there's only one gentleman who was charged with a crime in the year 2019 for the Patriots. And he wasn't a player, or a coach, or a general manager, or a videographer. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Mike in North Providence. Celtics, tough one tonight, Mike. They had a chance to win it, and then I couldn't believe, I thought that on that play where Kimba had a chance to tie the game, that it was blocked, but the refs went and looked at it and said, I guess it was an air ball.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, to me, the major takeaway was just, it's like Brad doesn't seem to get that timeouts can be used to stop runs.
Yes.
And he,
oh, Mike, this has been a problem for years.
Yes, he doesn't seem to learn this. I mean, it's not like it's a one-off. This is a consistent problem. Another problem is it's just feeling the need to put a bad lineup on the floor, because I think he thinks he's going to get guys rest by doing this. But that's not how you get guys rest in the NBA. You get guys rest in the NBA by blowing the other team out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Playing a good lineup and then going into the fourth quarter or getting to the end, like the back half of the fourth quarter with a 25-point lead, and then you can just take all your starters out. But he tries to get people rest up front, and then he makes the game interesting. And this is, we hardly ever see a big blowout win for the Celtics, do we? They're almost always the starters out there to the end of the game.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, and it's just like, and again, this was a game where the pace really bothered me. Like, when they play fast, they play well. And then it's like, he's like, oh, we really want to score points now, so we're going to slow down. And then the offense falls apart. Because I just don't understand this. Like, he doesn't seem to really understand the gear that this team needs to play at. And in particular, it's like, they're going to be playing Philly, you know, I guess technically today now, right? And they're going to be in trouble. If they play at Philly speed and play any of these big teams going forward, they're going to have an issue. So it's either going to be change the pace and keep the roster you have, or change the roster and keep the pace that you have. Because they can't play this way. And he's just not seeming – they're playing the same exact pace that they played last year when they had Baines as a center and Al as a power forward, and then you got Tyson Brown. I mean, this like it's a one trick pony. He wants to do the same thing no matter who's out there. I mean, what do you think?
It's an interesting point. Another thing I noticed too. I know he was hurt. Robert Williams has been out for a little bit. He was hurt, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's got the hip issue.
Fine. I like this team, and I love Gordon Hayward coming back, and I thought he picked up right where he left off. That's a good sign. And I know he got hit tonight. You know, Doug McDermott, who was a complete bust in the NBA. That was an unfortunate, he got whacked tonight. I felt really bad for Gordon Hayward tonight because he got, that's a hit. That's a hit that'll, you might have some CTE effects from that. I just think overall, the Celtics are still trying to find their identity. I don't think they know, but here's the thing I love about them, Mike, is that they're playing the cohesion. They're playing is like you can see they're playing as a team. It's tough to be critical, but tonight's game I felt as though was one that Brad let get away.
Well, the thing is that they're a quarter of the way through the season, and for me, the whole takeaway for good teams who really want to win, the regular season is just the preseason for the playoffs. I mean, the San Antonio Spurs were not breaking new stuff out in the playoffs.
Nope.
They have perfected that during the regular season. Then you get into the playoffs and you're executing it. I feel that, Brad is kind of like throwing away the first quarter of the season here as far as establishing the final way that they're going to have to play. And it's just like, if he doesn't do it soon, so as up tempo and speeding a game up, that doesn't happen overnight. A lot of the stuff is a quick trigger, knowing when to run, inbounding the ball quickly. They dawdle getting the ball back in. If you want to speed another team up, get the ball back in fast and push it right back down their throats. They don't do this.
Yeah,
it's going to be an issue.
Here's another thing, too. When Kemba scores 40 over 40 points, you should never lose. Never.
Yes.
He was on fire tonight, and there were some questionable calls in that game, but then the Celtics got away with a couple here and there. I thought there was a bad call against Jaylen Brown in the game. But Jaylen was, he fouled out, but he was two assists and two rebounds short of a triple-double. So Jaylen Brown, to me, he's been the brightest spot of the Celtics this entire year, in my opinion.
Yeah, I love the growth that you're seeing out of both Brown and Tatum. And you know what? There's a lot of time to go, and it's all about the final product. I just think that Brad needs to kind of start, really seeing the end result here and just speed it up because he's got a small team. And you know what? I go around seeing the other teams. It's going to be hard to find a big man who's going to be worth trading Hayward for. I think that this is the team that they have to move forward with, and they have to play a style appropriate to it.
One guy I liked for a while too, Mike, and he played against him tonight, is Miles Turner for the Pacers. But I got to tell you, I wouldn't trade right now Gordon Hayward for Miles Turner. I don't know.
And he's terrible against the Sixers.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid annihilates him.
I know.
So, it doesn't help.
No, it does not. All right, Mike, thanks for the phone call. 617-779-7937. Bruins lost their fourth in a row tonight, too. Spygate 2.0. Who do you blame? Not only for Spygate, but the overall of the Patriots 2019 season. And you know where I go on that one. Not Tom Brady, not Bill Belichick. The Midnight Express Hour is coming up next. So a wild Wednesday turns into a throwdown Thursday right now. 617-779-7937. We're going to get a little freaky like we do every time after midnight. Put the women and children to bed, okay? And let's get it rock and rolling for the Midnight Express. 617-779-7937. Don't go anywhere.